At this time, this is tape two, side one of the interview with Bessie Katz by Sarah Lefkowitz and Ida Kaplan. Bessie, we would like to hear a little more about your husband's family, why they left Russia for the United States, the reasons and the particulars, if you can give them to us. We think we'd like to hear more about that.
As I recall the story Nate told me, his father had served in the Russian army once before during the, I think, Russian-Japanese war. And he was going to now be conscripted again. He did not want to go through this experience. And so he decided to leave the country, which was Russia-Poland, Warsaw, Russia-Poland. Nate's family, his mother and sister and he, went to live with his maternal grandparents, whom I have talked about. His father came to the United States and settled in Braddock, where he had friends. He followed his trade, which was watchmaking, particularly was knowledgeable in the field of great-grandfather clock repairs, and frequently would make the parts for the repaired needs, since frequently you could not get these parts. He recalled repairing the clocks of the Andrew Mellon family, and the experiences he had with them. He was an extremely creative man, and I still have a cage, a bird cage, which he made for our den after we were married, out of soda straws. And it was really a work of art, the way he did. He also would do little jobs with walnut shells, which is, I understand, European art. I think I did speak of his fine Yiddish, which was a literary Yiddish. And I learned to admire the Yiddish language during this period. Now,
there was Bessie, wasn't there a decided change in their financial situation because of the change from the life there to here?
Of course there was a change until they got established. They never had the same financial situation that they had had before. After living in Braddock, shall I go back to that?
No, it isn't necessary. We want just a quick resume.
Is that enough on that?
I think so. There's another question that we think could be clarified. What about the Girls Bureau, which you mentioned earlier? Could you give us more details?
I can only tell you what I told you that day. I said that our work was concerned with adolescent girls who had emotional difficulties, frequently from broken homes.
Is it still in existence?
No, no longer in existence. But as I said then, it was considered a very superior caseworking agency at that time. It was one of the early believers in psychiatric approach to handling of many of these problems. And when I went to New York School of Social Work, I studied under the famous Dr. Marion Kenworthy, who is still considered a very outstanding psychiatrist. She was on the staff, the faculty of the school, and her lectures, which I cherish, I have them in my files at home, still are not dated. She herself, a fine New England woman with great feeling for the young, for young people. In fact, at this time when I studied under her, she adopted, she was not married, you might put that in parentheses, she adopted a young girl, and in this way showed convincingly how she really felt and thought about a disadvantaged young person.
What year would this have been?
This was in the 30s.
Wasn't it rather unusual to allow a single person to adopt?
That's what was so unusual about. That's one of the reasons I'm saying this. It was very unusual. Of course, she was an outstanding educator in her field, and so I guess things could be affected, which otherwise effected, which otherwise could not have happened.
Was counsel at all associated with the girls' bureau?
Yes.
The Pittsburgh section?
Definitely. Minnie Kaufman, Mrs. Raymond Kaufman, was very largely responsible, as I recall, for helping to create this bureau. Mrs. Kaufman had a great deal of vision and was a factor in bringing certain people in the community to the point, to this point of view.
Was Mrs. Kaufman president of council then?
I don't know whether she was president when it was created. I cannot tell you that. It's very possible. But she continued on the board of the Girls Bureau. I recall that very well.
Do you have dates for that?
No, I don't.
Approximately?
Well, that was in the early 30s. Early 30s, definitely. Because I left the Girls Bureau when we decided to have a family and I was pregnant. It was in 1934.
Will you tell us what you felt about the community Pittsburgh, as you remembered it then, economically, politically, culturally?
I'd be glad to answer it as fully as I can. In our own circle of friends, most of the people were professionals, a few business friends. All of them seemed fairly comfortable, owning their own homes and enjoying a fairly comfortable way of life.
Do you think that material things mattered so much then?
I want to come to that. That's been on my mind. No, I don't. Certainly not to the degree that today, where the creature comforts are so very important. Although we all liked pleasant homes with certain standards of housekeeping and generally good standards of living. Of course, the health situation at that time was so different. I can't recall any except one couple who did not have at that time what is now known as live-in help. Does that mean anything? Do you think I should include that? I'll put my hand up if you don't want it.
We want it.
You do?
Yes.
Our friends, mostly Jewish, still numbered quite a few non-Jewish persons, both from our activities and just social friends. We frequently, at that time, would take weekends, which wasn't much done. It was rather unusual, but we did, with friends. We would frequently go to the Summit Hotel, Uniontown, which was then in its heyday. It was a beautiful spot, and we did a great deal of hiking. And, of course, there was always very rich, witty conversation.
What were their political views?
Our friends were, I would say, extremely intelligent individuals. Who participated in political activities. However, later we found that some of these people remained very rigid in their points of view, and
in what way?
In their points of view as to social conditions. And it was reflected in their political opinions. I particularly remember groups which began to grow at this time. I can't recall whether the ADA was born in the early 30s. Of course, later it became a very important part of our thinking, although my husband never became a member of it. He wasn't at that time convinced completely of its position. He was a genuine liberal of the Norman Thomas variety. I recall when the League for, I think it was called for Industrial Democracy. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
About this time.
Bessie, may I ask you to tell us your impressions of the war as you remember it, the impact it had on your politics, your lives in general?
About this time, the effects of the Depression were becoming very pronounced. Many of our friends were very much affected, losing their homes, and suffering other financial losses. However, the men of this group were not involved in the war itself. However, though my husband took a great part in war activities, the sale of bonds, of war bonds, was very important. And after giving up his car because he believed we should not own a car since it was asked by the government to do this, to give up your car if possible, he really had great difficulties in getting around to the many places he had to go to participate in war activities, particularly war bond sales in various parts of the country, of the county and state. I remember the cooperation we had at that time from the Yellow Cab Company, who frequently provided cabs for these trips that were necessary. We were very fortunate during this time in that we did not suffer the kind of economic trauma that many of our acquaintances and friends had experienced. I did not realize the extent of this until later.
Do you recall the impact of Prohibition on...
Well, that was earlier.
Yes. We didn't...
Well, that wasn't during my early married life. I think it was before that, that the Prohibition came into being. I do recall it meant that if you wanted things of that nature, you went to clubs, which, of course, Mr. Katz my husband would not do because it wasn't legal. And since he was a lawyer, he would not participate. I remember got along without the cocktails and the wines and drinks of today, except we did have some wine and the so-called whiskey for medicinal purposes.
Warriors. That would be the Second War.
Well, that's what I was talking about here, the Second World War. Not the first.
No, I realize that.
The war years, the rationing of food, I recall so vividly. And trying my best to cooperate. I found it very obnoxious when I would see people hoarding or trying to hoard food at that time. It really upset me. And of course, my husband was adamant about this kind of thing.
Did you serve on any committees? Did your husband?
Well, many committees. I can't recall. That's part of it that I don't remember very clearly what committees, except this war savings bonds. He gave that an awful lot of his time. And my activities were directed particularly through the NCJW, which were many. But I can't tell you specifically what they were. During my pregnancy and following my resignation or departure from the Girls Bureau, I accepted a volunteer position with the Pennsylvania Department of Labor as an inspector of labor conditions and health conditions in beauty parlors. These reports gathered by various people led to greatly improved conditions later. And more important for the beauty operators, following the birth of my daughter, and of course during this time I remained on the board of the National Council of Jewish Women, I gradually became more and more involved in its program, particularly social legislation on a local, state, and national level, and its education program. One of the most challenging efforts to me was the establishment of a training institute for volunteers, which was original with me. I was astounded in my early days to find that many intelligent, bright women who gave much time to counsel did not seem to have certain techniques of organizing material, meeting deadlines for publicity. And since I was doing publicity in the early days, I was very conscious of this. And the way also a release was prepared for the newspapers. This institute, which was the first held during the war years under the presidency of Mrs. Sidney Bachman, was extremely successful. As a result of this first session of a training institute, it was later adopted by the National of NCJW as a regular feature for sections. Still later, other volunteer groups in the community and throughout the state began to use this idea, modifying or changing according to their needs. Today, it is a very accepted part of volunteer activity. Along with Council's program, I became interested in its blind students, for whom I read, particularly, of course, the college students, and helped them in other ways when necessary. This was during my pregnancy also. I was looking for things that I didn't have to run to lots of meetings, you know. I never was one who loved lots of meetings. Even though people think I'm a club person, I really temperamentally am not. Is that on? Ooh. About this time, I accepted a vice presidency. I should correct that and say a little later, I accepted the vice presidency of council under Mrs. Joseph Silverstein, Seal. And we attended a triennial convention then held in Chicago. I had the great privilege of meeting our founder, Hannah Solomon, and the great social worker, Jane Addams. It was a wonderful experience. I also listened to an address by Thomas Mann, who had just gotten out of Germany a short time before. Following this, I traveled a great deal to outlying communities to speak on Council's program and to help establish new sections. During these years, the problem of the immigrant particularly at this time, as the Hitler era had loomed so grimly upon the horizon, Council Service to Foreign Born Committee, of which I had always been a part, began an outstanding program nationally and locally. I worked as a volunteer then under our great Zena Saul, whom I loved and respected. She was a dear friend of mine. That's awful when you think of what people have done. Miss Saul was known for her work in immigration and naturalization, both in the Jewish and non-Jewish agencies and also in the government circles. This experience was a heartbreaking one, though very challenging. At this time, we had to produce affidavits to bring people out of Germany, Austria, and other countries. My husband was very active in the work as well. First of all, he would sign many affidavits for me, which were necessary. The Federation of Jewish Philanthropies supported these individuals or families after they arrived, but the affidavit had to be a prior
requisite.
It was during this time that we undertook the retraining of immigrant dentists, many from Austria and, of course, Germany, together with the United Jewish Fund. They were retrained at the University of Pittsburgh. The National Council of Jewish Women played a great role in this effort and also assisted families to become settled and integrated into the community. It was at this time that I became a member of the National Committee of the Service to Foreign Born of NCJW under a most capable national president, Mrs. Irving Kate Engel. Locally, our president was I was under Helen Mrs. Carl Kaufman. I can't think of her first name at the moment. Ruth Helen. Was she before CL? I think she was. Well, I served under her, too, and I remember working with Kate Engel. That was all part of this picture. But she came before CL. This work with the immigrants, though very stimulating, as I said before, was heartbreaking. And to this day, I remember some of the letters that we had received from individuals pleading and begging to come, to be given a chance to come to the United States. Much later, an incident occurred which gave me great gratification. The Friendship Club of Pittsburgh, which is made up of former refugees, now called New Americans, and their families, held a 21st anniversary party. They invited me and my daughter to this party. And there I met many grandchildren of the people I'd had a part in bringing to this country. I remember thinking that night, perhaps it's being over dramatic, but that when I came home, I thought, if I accomplish nothing else in my life, this is everything that is worthwhile. And I will express my gratitude to council again for giving me the opportunity through its auspices.
You saved lives.
Yes. It was a big, and I think of it, I get goose flesh. I think I omitted one thing in regard to the New Americans. Donald Steinfurst, Mr. Donald Steinfurst, who was very active in our community, particularly with the Federation of Jewish Philanthropies, approached me one day to consider organizing a panel discussion on the subject of the integration of the New American into our community. I thought about it, and I felt that this should be done and that New Americans should be on this panel, as well as natives of Pittsburgh. I worked with a graduate student at the University of Pittsburgh who was a friend, Mr. Demetrius Iatrides.
Can you spell that one?
Yeah, I think that's not too hard. Capital D-M-I-T-I-A-S, capital I-A-T-R-I-D-E-S. A brilliant young man who had come here from Greece and had a fellowship at the School of Social Work. We worked together on this program, and involved a few outstanding New Americans and local people, as I indicated. It was a very well attended program, whatever you want to call it, at the Shenley Hotel. What interested me particularly was the fact that many of the New Americans gave vent to their feelings of frustration and even hostility to the community for not really accepting them. That's true. I think particularly on the social level. Maybe that shouldn't go in.
Yes, it should go in. I think it gives it, helps give a more complete picture of your views.
At the same time, these people were most appreciative of what had been done for them in helping them to become settled.
Now,
during my council active program, I was associated with its scholarship committee and accepted the acting chairmanship under during C.L. Silverstein's administration. I was substituting for Dorothy Blumenthal, who was then working with the Red Cross. Just the other day, when I was attending an outing, I had the happy experience of meeting a youngish woman who reminded me that I had a great deal to do with her husband's life. When she mentioned his name, I remembered vividly the experience. This young man came from a family who were self-supporting, but not affluent by any means. He applied for a scholarship. We discovered that he had a B-plus average. At this time, the women on the committee felt very strongly that we should not consider anyone except one who had an A average. I disagreed with this point of view because I believed that an individual, especially a young man whose record in school was an exceptionally fine one in regard to his relationships with his teachers, with his fellow students, with his family, and community responsibility at this young age. At a time when he had financial difficulties, I said that a person like this, no doubt, could do much better if relieved of some of these difficulties, developed this was true, and this young man who went through professional school, I don't want to mention names here, is a very successful man. He immediately began to repay his loan no sooner he was out of school. In fact, no one in our records had established this. And it proved that...
Did this become a policy for...
Yes, it became a policy at that time. I don't know if it still continues. As a result of this activity, I later...